Good morning, honorable members,
of our tradition,
and welcome. We'd like to welcome the partners to this meeting. We must start right away. We're supposed to start at 8 o'clock, 6 minutes. Then we are not that much late. We call the chiefs of the services there to give their presentation. And their presentation should be in the context of the defense review, because we are in that process. There might be areas that we pick up which we want to give attention to. And the committee will listen to you. My name is Francis Benjamin Dumele. I'm the co-chairperson of this committee, joined the committee on health. Honorable members, will introduce yourselves.
I'm Mojalan Korsi, I'm Lambo, the co-chair of the committee.
I'm Yane Zelipoy, member of parliament. No. Come on,
I'm not sure which will be the delegation from the department, General Sunday.
Thank you, Honorable Co-Chair and members of the Defending Committee on Defense. First and foremost, I want to say, as the Department of Defense, we welcome the opportunity to interact with the committee and to be able to account for what we do in the Department of Defense. And that is based on the simple fact that we regard ourselves as the defense force that represents the people of South Africa, and therefore we are accountable. Honorable co-chairs and members of the Standing Committee of Defense, I want to start by indicating that the initial program that we received from the committee, well, today we are going to interact with the committee on the basis of the defense review, addressing issues of time and defense capabilities, and also covering or giving a strategic overview of the SANDF, covering issues of transformation, interstation equity, morale and combat operations. And of course, that's what we're preparing for. But the day before, yesterday, we received additional requirements, and we had to extend them yesterday, trying to address those requirements. And it is our hope, therefore, that in the presentation that we are going to give or present to the committee, within the constraint of the time that we have at our disposal to prepare, we'll be able somehow to adequately cover those areas that are of interest to the committee. And therefore, having said that, also to apologize for the failure for that we're not able to provide copies of our presentations on time. And we're also in trouble with our minister because we have not been able to provide the sort of presentation book. Because when we are here, we're also representing. Having said that, honorable co-chairs and members of the committee, I also want to utilize this opportunity to tender an apology for the chief of the National Defense Force. And I assure the committee that the chief would have loved to be here in person. And the fact that he's not here is because he's got an external engagement which was set in February, and he was not able to get out of here. what we had to agree was to request the community service engagement to be shifted to the 18th so that it could be present in person. However, that was not possible. So, we should say sorry that we cannot do that. Honorable Chair, in the requirements for presentation today, we are also asked to touch on the issues of intelligence. Now, before I came to Parliament, I had an interaction with the Chief of Defense Intelligence, who shared with me the concern from the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence, that because intelligence issues are sensitive, they prefer that they be handled within the committee. So you'll pardon us, Co-Chair, that in terms of intelligence, I'm not going to cover that aspect as per your requirements. And lastly, Chair, to also say, we will attempt to respond to all the questions of the committee. However, some of the issues, I'm sure members of the committee will be aware that there are issues that are classified, secret within the defense force. And on those issues, we would therefore not be able to give adequate answers and would request, therefore, an opportunity for a closed session so that we can be able then to give comprehensive answers on those issues. Having said or given my opening remarks, co-chairs and other members of the committee, I would like, therefore, before we commence, to just also introduce myself properly and members of the delegation. I'm Lieutenant General Kismuzi Ramakala Masondo, the Chief of the South African Army. But as I indicated here, I'm also representing General Ashoke, the Chief of the National Defense Force. And I'm acting in this current week as the Chief of the National Defense Force. So we'll start from the right. The members will see, introduce themselves without wasting time so that we don't get into the time for the deliberations. Thank you.
Major General Sazi Salman, Chief of the Corrections.
Chairperson, I think here General Edie Drost, Director on the Strategy. Thanks. Chairperson,
members of the Committee.
I'm Lieutenant General Mr. Bakshi, Chairman of the Strategy. Good morning, Chairperson, and the members of the Committee. I'm Major General Cedric Masters, Chief of the Staff Governance of South Africa, of course.
Good morning,
Thank you, Honorable Lord, Co-Chairs and members of the committee. Having dispensed with introductions, we now request General Ramason to take us through the presentation, after which then we will be open for questions and discussion. honorable church, if it is the preference of the community, that the questions are asked during the presentation itself, that we can also put that on. Thank you.
General, I must make you, thank you, General Wilson. I must make you aware that we have now until 10 o'clock, and if you can finish as quickly as possible. I must remind you again, General Masson, that the purpose of this meeting is linked to the process of the defense review. The document that is in the public domain already. So we expect you to give us your views. When you have recommendations, if you have challenges that you think you are going to face going forward, tell us about those challenges so that the committee should be able to process this document in line with everybody's expectations. Over to you, General Manager.
Honorable
Chairperson,
honorable members, thank you very much for the opportunity. I will go straight to the aim of the presentation, which is to provide a strategic overview of the South African National Transport to this committee. The focus to show the areas of the decline. And that is the scope of the presentation on our agenda. We thought in the presentation that we need to highlight the historical perspective that the SANG has found itself that led to the SAPF current state of affairs. And also, we thought we need to indicate, when we talk about the declining facilities, in which areas are they, and what are they, without going into the details. As the chief, the agency chief has indicated to the fact that most of these areas will be classified. We will then indicate to human resource challenges. The issue on combat readiness, we, it's in the scope there, but it is not part of the presentation, not a good chapter. Because of the fact that it goes to what the agency has said in terms of the resources. Then transformation, and then we will then conclude by discussing the defense review in 14 itself, in terms of what the department is doing today. If I may, the defense was derived with mandate from the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. Which then states the fact that the primary object is to defend and protect the Republic. Now, this particular mandate, there has been emphasis of this mandate in the 1990s review, and there has been emphasis of this mandate in the 2014 defense review. Both defense review say the same thing. And both defense review goes on to say that any other function is federal. But the difference between the two different reviews is that the initial one of 1998 does not promote the construction of the secondary function. But if you go to the 2014 defense review, it proposes the goals, and the third goal thereof would talk to what is called secondary function, which is support operations, and lay thereof some tasks in that regard. And then it also goes on its very proposition. In its very proposition, where it says what are the levels that we need to have in some of the functions that are there to be secular. For example, in peace support operations in various marathons, it states clear what are the cost levels that are expected. And then it goes further to the issues of disaster relief, humanitarian assistance, search and rescue, wherein it says within the capabilities that you have, to the extent that your capability allows. This is a fundamental difference, especially if I may, in terms of the two different issues, when it comes to defining our mandate and stating here what is exactly the example has to. Then it also goes ahead to say that the defense force must be structured and managed as a disciplined military force. A military force that is not discipline, it's no military force at all. Because if you manage in command, because there is discipline in that organization. Secondly, I want to indicate, I'll run through this fast, because I want to get to the heart of the presentation itself. But just to give an indication of what the organization is, of the defense force, and to indicate quickly what are the programs that we have currently. That is how we are organized. Now, if we see the organization at level zero, that environment, we've got a ministry of this. And then if we go to level one, that's where we've got the current content. And then the chief of the South Teacher National Defense Force. And then we also have the Defense Service Commission as well as the military community. If we go down to level two, level two environment, that's where we find the chief and the regional chief. They reside in level two. The defense review of anybody has said a lot about the organization of the defense force. Wherein, in the level of the chief of the defense force, we don't want to propose certain things, i.e. general staff functions. We don't want to propose the thing that they can need for chief of staff. We don't want to propose that it must start from there to demarcate here the lines, the difference between what is command and what is staff function. And again, this reduction percent at that particular level, it will mean that at the level of the chief of the defense force, you probably are going to see change in the way in which that area is organized. And but then it all goes ahead. Then I will explain as I go through the various programs. Now, this is the admin program. This is our first program. We do not envisage any change. The defense force is stated in both defense reviews. Talk about civil oversight, civil control, strategic direction from the office of the minister, and then local explaining and reporting. Therefore, we do not foresee any change because both defense reviews are speaking the same language. And it is an area that for now we do not have much of problems. Going ahead to post employment. Now, in the area of post employment, honorable chairperson, the defense review makes a number of proposals. The first proposal is to suggest a general staff function in level one, assisting the chief of the South African Defense Force. And then it also goes ahead to say, by the way, in terms of option five, what you are going to need is an operational level headquarters that will be being forced employment. In other words, the commander of the GOC, whatever he will be called, based on the training that has been done, will never report to the chief of the South African National Defense Force. Going back to what we said earlier on, clear demarcation between what is staff and what is command. Who is in the command line and who is not in the command line. So in that environment, certainly, we may see slight adjustment. And these adjustments in this area, these are those that we will compete with. In the sense that when you are happy, you don't need much of the expenditure, little or no expenditure. And the Minister of Defense has said when you have to do. Chairperson, in the area of labor defense, the papers of which know what they do is what is they can provide for you. But the defense review said, which was something that was an anomaly when we were doing the restructuring, following the 1998 defense review, where we even had consultants that gave advice on how we need to structure. And by the way, then, we realized that this has gone wrong. And therefore, certain things have to be done. But the proposal in the defense review works in our favor, Honorable Chairperson, where they propose that we need to structure landward capabilities in common formation. That would mean, in the planning process, therefore, what we should see is the fact that we might go back to what is called mediated division. Now, but that is a project of planning, Honorable Chairperson. And once that thing is then completed, we'll then have a clear picture as to then how do we do it. I know that the proposals, and if we are get to Michael Ford that proposes being able to wage a limited war, then we need to be organized in a manner that our doctrine says we should be organized. In the area of state defense, the same thing on our researchers, and they have been the same thing, but then it says the defense review there, which is again favorable to us, organize the progress plan. And that is what we intend to do. The chief of the South African National Defense Force goes further in this regard to say strategic position of air defense assets, especially combat capabilities, to be able to defend our SAE effectively. And other things we are part of this. In the area of maritime defense, honorable member, the defense review says the same thing. It talks about organizing maritime in a manner that is able to conduct the military operations. In other words, the doctrinal approach into this, organizing it into squadrons, as it is supposed to be. And in the area of the military, it is the same thing that is being proposed there, which is organizing that into battalions, because to have those capabilities that are dedicated to support military operations. And defense intelligence, honorable chairperson, the opening statement by the chief of the South African National Defense Force, will say to me that I have to skip on this one. Now coming to general support, we will indicate for you in this regard during the presentation, what are the challenges in terms of general support. Now, having said that, honorable chairperson, now we find that we need to give you a historical perspective from where we come from up to where we find ourselves in today. And that historical perspective starts from the 1998 Defense Review. Now the 1998 Defense Review, when it was introduced, it laid an emphasis on defense in a democracy. And that meant that the seven forces that have been integrated into the Department of Defense are now a unified organization in a different environment as opposed to the previous environment where they find themselves in. You allow a defense force that must safeguard the interests of all South Africa. You allow a defense force that must subject yourself to civil control. You allow a defense force that must subject yourself to civil oversight. And on my good chapter, he stated there that we needed to maintain a defensive posture. And that defensive posture, if we go to the 1014 Defense Review, it states therefore that we will be strategically defensive, but we will be operationally offensive. It then emphasized on the primary function which I spoke about, and that is defense of the Africa. And then again, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, it emphasized on the so-called approach, which proposed for the structure which was more like a peacetime force, because it is a core approach. Therefore, the first structure thereof was a peacetime approach. Now, if we look at the Defense Review, then it was in Honorable Chairperson. In the way in which it is a region with the four goals, it is therefore not a peacetime force. In the way in which the milestones are proposed, it is therefore not a peacetime force. It is a force that will be able to wage what is said in Milestone 4 limited. Now, the secondary function that we indicated there, as I've already stated, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, the region of the security peace support operations, cooperation with the South African military systems, and non-military tasks. Most of these non-military tasks are very clear in the interim constitution of 1993. In there. So therefore, these were things to be secondary. But what was interesting about these functions is the fact that, which I will show when I come to operational perspective, what was interesting was that the Defense Force, therefore, was more involved in secondary functions, which was envisaged by the Defense Review of 1998 as secondary, correctly so, but that without structure for this. It proposed four options. Those four options that it proposed, the first option was a co-growth force that proposed 22,000 regular force and 70,000 reserve force. And the budget that was proposed by the chairperson to run the whole design of 22,000 regular force and that 22,000 only refers to combat units. In other words, it is a force design. It does not refer to those elements that who would normally have in your force structure, only the force design, to be run by a budget of 5 million. And then there's option two. This option, by the way, Chairperson, option one was the one that was recommended. And if you go to option two, Chairperson, this was the option which the military would have preferred. But then the option one was recommended. And option two stated a force design of 56,000, with 98 reserve force, with a budget 1996 rent value of 6 billion, to run the first design of 36 regular force members. Now, if I go to option 3 and option 4, they were not even considered at all. The proposal that goes with us, they were at least higher than 22,000. But by far less than, because they were in the region of 26,000, 27,000 thereabouts. My honorable chairperson and honorable members, it was from this point on that the Defense of Budget Fund focused on option one of the 1998 defense budget. Now, then what we are saying, which is also in a defense review, we say that it followed another approach in defense. And these are the issues. It says defend against aggression. And what then it goes on to say is that when you do these things, for other things you are not going to destroy that force. Because they are secondary, and those issues that are secondary, that is where the defense has been dealing with them until today. And then the budget, it is stated in the defense review, it states this budget, the 5 billion meant for the fund development in 2000, that is meant for the maintenance, development, and preparation of existing force. In that sentence, there's nothing about forcing violence. So it is just to maintain a force as a core force for the Republic. It goes on, by the way, to say that. Generally, if I look at my second last bullet, that special budgetary arrangements for operations will be made. But what then happened, Honorable Chairman, is that the rest. What then happened is that when we were to be involved in military operations, we drew up all the papers as one. And the funding, in many cases, it came. And when came, by the way, it is not at the required level. It is by far below what has been requested, and that has been. Now, it also says the defense review that we are to be involved, this is 1998, we are to be involved in time, in much now, physical operations. And then it goes on to say, one by time. Now, if we look at today where we have gone past one battalion by far. By the way, the Spanish friend between then to today is still based on 1998. So that is the proposal that we will have one battalion. What this means, it goes on, by the way, to say that then prepare two battalions for that, which will be deployed in time. I'm showing Honorable Chairperson that in no time, which was not actually, when there was not even a big time, we were then finding ourselves to mobilize the soldiers and having to deploy. This is 1998, and the first deployment came in 1999. Now, it says their internal operations are undeveloped. What then happened is that we moved up on the borderline and the SAPS to open. Yes, the sentence, honorable members, which we have taken the vacuum from the Defense Review of 1998, and it says that in terms of the mandate of the government, the national defense force participation in international FIFA force operations is a secondary function. FIFA force operations. The SANDF will therefore not normally create special structures for such operations, but will rather provide for them within the primary structure. The primary structure, in this case, is the 22,000 in the hospital. Now, and then it goes on to say, deployment in cooperation with the South African police is likely to take this for some time. This is our mandate. It is there, although it is secondary, but we've been doing this. And the statement that it took a bit of time is correct. We'll be bringing it, and we will continue to do this. Honorable Buddha question, it says it's no defense. No conventional defense against the RSA entity. It was correct at the time. There was no military aggression against us. And I say there's no aggressive intention against other states. But then this is an interesting factor, Honorable Chairman. It says that we will need 3 to 5 years to be able to grow based on threat into a force design which would be option 2 to be able to deal with that. 3 to 5 years willing period is what it is talking about. And then it better said long-term predictions would not be accurate at that point. And this time force based on threat independent approach is what was put. Now, Honorable Chairperson, I want to take you through now what happened over here. If we look at the previous slides which we have gone through, we are in good standing with the 2014 census when it comes to all of these issues. Like I indicated, that they touch more on the issues of the value proposition in the business. Now, with the operational perspective, in the defense review of 1998, it said in time we will move. 1999, we landed in this field. Then we were deployed subsequently to Burundi. Now all this is happening in much more areas than anticipated. Thereafter, we then find ourselves in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and later on in Sudan. Chairperson, yes, something that I want to indicate with this question. Recently, what then happened? The two missions have changed from chapter 6 to chapter 7. Now, when you change a mission, a chapter 6 mission, the equipment that you take will not be the same with the equipment that you will take when you embark on a chapter 7 mission. A chapter 7 mission, you need all your operating systems. You need firepower. And all that goes with it, you need to have. So there, you have got a change of the scenario altogether. And you need to take your heavy weapons. Something. Now, that's what we find ourselves in with those two missions. Then, I've explained the fact that we did that over our border responsibilities. Based on cabinet discussion, then we closed all our the group efforts that we had in China, including the money. We began to position the defense force in multinational institutions. The African Union, the United Nations, the SADC. And then we also began to position defense attachés abroad. And at the same time, even by this prospect, as a result of the 1998 defense review, began to close down some of the issues. We have told a few honorable gentlemen in the army, in the air force, military services. We have put down on some of the ships in the military environment as a result of the 1998 honorable chairperson, the FGTs. There was a point then that we went for FGTs. And we know the FGTs, they came without concomitant allocation for operations. And support of this. Hence, in our current budget, we are going through this in terms of helping to make sure that we maintain that, which is that we are doing at this point in time. Those dates indicate when did we commission it. Those dates as indicated there. But then the army was completely excluded from this. At one point, there was a standby. It was said that, well, we need to be on the band, but this never took place. Then we were seeing the requirement because of the fact that South Africa, as a country, had positioned itself in various multinational institutions, and saying to the rest of the world, we are now a democratic country. There was no pressure on South Africa to be able to participate in all the activities of the region, activities of the continent, and activities of the world. And in so doing, then, the pressure increased for the country to make its commitment, and pressure increased for the South African Economic Defense Force to be able to participate in this, which actually was good for the country. Now, assistance military operations. We know one of the cases in point recently that happened, the Central African Republic. They are currently busy with the mission in the DRC called Mission 10. And we have done many other assistance training to countries in the continent before. Commitment to stand by arrangement. As we speak, Honorable Chairperson, the South African National Defense Force is on standby for the African capacity to immediate response to crisis. And then there's also been regular deployment in regional humanitarian assistance. And there's also been regional humanitarian assistance. We know of this. One of South African associates was the one that we did, the operational setting. And support to other government departments on the process that we continue. The country witnessed an increase in India. Now, thereafter there was a decision that says that the NDF must have sent 10 million votes. A military appreciation in this regard was conducted. And that military appreciation proposed that we needed to have 22 companies on the ground deployed at one group to take care of what needs. I've given the historical perspective in terms of the capabilities that we have lost internally that were also responsible for border security. Now, currently, what we have on the ground is not what we are not where we want to be in terms of border security. We still need to increase our footprint in border security. And we have got to reconnect some of the capabilities that we had so that they can assist us to ensure that we close down our borders and close down these borders so that they are not part. And of course, as I spoke about using some of the capabilities in the environment where we need the technical intelligence, where we need other things, those were our ears and eyes. They have been closed down, but this is the area that we will have to reach out, given the decision to say that we need to go back to our borders. There was other dynamics, Honorable Chairperson, at sea. Recently, there has been a number of media releases. There's been a number of statements that were made about our sea. Our economy is heavily dependent at the sea. Now, there was piracy at sea. That increased. We all know the issue about the Vegas. And then we then wrote the maritime security strategy, and this maritime security strategy, by the way, became accepted as a subject maritime security strategy. And then there was also trilateral agreement between South Africa, Tanzania, and Mozambique. As we speak, our nation is operating in the Mozambique Channel. And they are deploying there since then, they are always deployed in the Mozambique Channel. Now, increase the support of other government departments, which I already spoke about, and these are the details. And we will know one of the things which we are delighted to indicate here is the fact that the Cabinet made a decision to see that. And that was in February 2020, my memory serves me well, that said that the South African National Defense Force should be responsible for national nuclear in terms of change, and that we are. Now, what are the results of all of this? Nominal increase in terms of the budget, not in real terms, by the way. Yet, it's something that I want to point out is that, again, on our research, that comes from the Defense Review of 1998, and it says the following. As a result of the improved external strategic environment and changing government spending priorities, the defense budget has been cut by 50% over the past 5 years in real terms. I think the way to analyze here is what is instead the government spending priorities. And we know that we have the government policy at the point in time, which was reconstruction and economic reform. A policy that has to look at the whole country and its own needs. But what we are trying to point out is that there has been that reduction in the defense. These issues with this development, including the strategic environment, including the development in terms of threat patterns, definitely indicated that we need to update the defense. International expectations, increased international and domestic defense commitments, structure is not aligned to the current requirements, and the ever-increasing state of the decline in military capabilities. Now, Chairperson, the defense review is important. If you ask, the defense force is waiting for an answer in order to align itself to it and move structure itself as required by the defense. This defense review, Honorable Chairperson, proposes Goal 3. Goal 1 and Goal 2 are stated, but he proposes in addition Goal 3 and proposes Goal 4. What therefore means is that in our endeavor to structure the defense, these are the areas that we will have, we've got to. And then, Honorable Chairperson, with the focus, this one thing sent just to indicate, there are three things in terms of addressing the management of the defense. The first one is that we need to identify what is called picking. What is it that we can do without spending much? And that is when we are planning for the arrest of the decline. The second thing is arresting the decline itself. And the third thing that we need to look at is long-term capability development plan. This long-term capability development plan, Honorable Chairperson, I'll show you a slide right at the end where I'm concluding, just to provide an understanding of what this thing will take when we talk long-term development, long-term capability development plan, because that particular plan transcends various milestones, and you have got to do checks and balances time and again. It is a plan that will be responsible for the modernization of the defense force. It is a plan that will be responsible for having to start up new capabilities where there is a such need, and therefore it is a long-term capability development plan without all the milestones. Honorable Chairperson, I will not go into the details in terms of this particular area. Although the first one, because it's budget, I can discuss the details in terms of the budget. However, all of these things, looking from where we are coming from, we have got a proposal of a force device of 22,000. And we've also increased the chances. Now, in terms of the current status of the budget allocation, just as I need to indicate, before the 1516 test, before the 1516 medium-term expenditure framework, up to today, the defense force has had, from 2008 to 2009, in the region of about 9 billion rand budget cut. Now, looking at where we are, 1516 test, that is the cut which the defense force has had. What is indicated right at the bottom of the chart, in that environment, there where we are, that was as of June, what we had. Now if we go to here, this is the letter of allocation that came from National Treasury, we have been tapping that before. Now, the difference between that is in the region of about 721 million that we are talking about. But then you take it 1516 test. That is how we accepted where we're coming from. 2008-2009, we have had up to today a cut of about 9 billion. So, with this that we have, and the defense commitment that we have currently, I will indicate to you as we move forward the area that is affected by this budget cut. Without going into the details, I'll simply highlight in some areas. Now, Honorable Chairperson, just to show you both defense reviews, the defense review of 1998 and the one of 2014, they make a proposal in terms of the budget allocation into the environment of state, of human resources, the environment of operating, and the environment of capital. Now, they propose the 40 personnel, 40 operating, 40 capital. what we have, this ratio would affect the defense of tomorrow. But what we have, as we have seen on our able chapter, in the previous presentation that we made on the level to the portfolio policy, is that the HR budget is very high. And this is very visible in that region. It has gone past the mark, the 50% mark of the budget allocation of the Department of Defense. Now, if I go to the next one, which is the blue, that is operating, you can also see that it has gone past the 50% mark. That does not mean that we, when it has gone past there, then it is an environment that is more funded than others. There is still very little in terms of what we have there. But modernization of our weapon system to our weapon system, that is where we are. Very, very low in the ground, in the region of 11%, in terms of the modernization of our equipment, without going much into the details, that is for now problematic in our acquisition program. When you have that situation, the impact is not only in the defense force, it's also in the industry. By the time you want to grow up in the defense, to move to that environment, the industry also must pick up with you. Because in the process, what happens? The skills have been lost. Because they cannot be sure. How then do they support? Because when you go to that environment, the possibility is you've got some of the systems that needs to be attended, but industry cannot be effective because you are not committing much. So, in this regard here, it's a big problematic. When we are there, industry as well cannot be supported. Chairperson, I will not go into the details of this. I will highlight certain issues because the details into this I think they will go to, but this is the area that we want to try and show that we have got extending pressure in this area. The issue about the limited conventional capability centers and going around and efforts made for various reasons. And those reasons, Chairperson, and I think they are a subject of deliberation in a session that will be much more friendly for us to deliver it on those. But, Chairperson, I would want to indicate in that particular area, which is an area of logistics, in terms of maintenance and repair of your equipment, in terms of defense material support, the fighting units. Now, in this particular area, both of the defense review. The defense review of 2014 is more emphatic on this particular area. To say that there is a need to ensure that we resuscitate our lines of support. Just second, third, fourth, and fourth line of support. Honorable Chairperson, I want to indicate in this next slide the area that talks to train. Honorable Chairperson, we have implemented various methods to make sure that if the defense force as well also adheres to processing. But what is important, Honorable Chairperson, when training soldiers is to give them that training which they will get when they go into the theater operation. A soldier must be able, when a shot is fired from his left, he must go to the right. But this is something, a technique that is instilled by training. And therefore, with the current rate of in which we are conducting our training, we feel that we are making savings, but we can, it's an area that we might just have to improve on it in terms of training. The Defense Review speaks, Defense Review 2014, speaks in terms of our training and highlights the fundamental importance of training. Going up to the way in which we need to train our NCOs, the way in which we need to train our officers, and the way in which we need to conduct our training in our community. Therefore, training, Honorable Chairman, fundamentally important. And I want to indicate that this particular area that has been indicated there in terms of our ignorance and our acceptance. The defense review has hit it a lot with the gates in terms of the areas of the decline, and therefore will not get into them much in detail. However, most important is the other explanation which I can give. If you're not critical and you're medical consumer, to support the deployment function. What we are trying to do at this stage is to make sure that from what we want, we keep the deposit of stocks at 50%. That it must not be less than 50%. And there is a lot of spending pressure on the environment. What we are saying, Honorable Chairperson, is that it takes time to build capabilities that we may have lost, and it is also costly to build them again. And what we are saying again, Honorable Chairperson, is the fact that when you have capabilities, you've got to keep on maintaining them. If you don't, when you have to start maintaining them, then it is more costly. And the other thing is that, Chairperson, if you lose capabilities, such as what I have indicated previously, being a defense force, what you don't want to do is only make sure that you are at that critical mass of not losing your ability to be a defense force. And that is what the South African National Defense Force and everyone continues to do. Honorable Chairperson, I have spoken that the implications, the decline that manifests itself in the military also includes the area of the defense industry. What is important is, with constant budget cuts, you now go into, you've got a problem in terms of construction. Whereas what is desired is for you to go into multi-year contract. Because in so doing, you position your defense industry, and you are able, therefore, to not have a delay in terms of the supply of sales, in terms of the internet, in terms of all of the other things that you would want to do to keep your equipment from the system. Chairperson, we also need to share with you the problem. And that's why what we have said, Chairperson, is clear in the defense review of 2014. The defense review of 2014 has included a chapter of defense industry which was the defense industry strategy to make sure that whatever we are doing, which need not leave the defense industry behind. And therefore, in this environment, Chairperson, what we need in the defense force? You need soldiers who are young, you need soldiers who are medically sick, and you need soldiers who are well-trained. A soldier that is old, or a soldier that is not sick, is not even supposed to step that way. Because that duty is also a job that makes somebody that is sick. To be able to deal with the issues that will confront him, which is the reason why he is injured. And that is what the defense force needs. And now, in that particular environment, Honorable Chairperson, there is a slide that I'm going to show you, what are the challenges in that particular environment. But again, in the current state of affairs, with the current defense commitment, the defense force is good on the ground. There is a proposal in the defense review that talks numbers. And in milestone one, where we are today, the defense force is beyond that. Well, if we do our calculations well, we might just come up with a say, because what is being proposed there is in terms of the combat units. So we might just have to come up to say, are these numbers relevant? But here is an issue about these numbers. The numbers are relevant to serve, to guide the defense force in terms of its training process. And in terms of providing the budget. When the plan has been done, it is of utmost importance that the establishment tables are there. And also, it is another function when you look at the force structure, part of the defense force. And that is the one that talks to the issues of organization and website. That has to be done. From there you conclude. But then already you know that, by the way, the proposal is the following. Therefore, how do I manage myself to fit in within the constraints that have been indicated in by the different issues? Now, obviously, Chairperson, standing pressure, which is what we indicated in the area of human resource, where we, for now, the in terms of the defense review, in terms of the exit mechanism, where we do not have the currently an acceptable exit mechanism, and not an acceptable but an attractive exit mechanism. The problems with the reserve of honorable members yesterday received the presentation in the reserve of environment, where correctly they indicated the fact that they should be detention in the reserve. Precisely because of the fact that when it comes to the attrition rate in the defense force, with the MNCS intake rate that we have, we are not making it up. And that again, if you look at the budget constraints that we have for the 15-16 reserve, where you have got a budget cut that also affects the MNCS intake. When we have to submit our annual performance plan, therefore we'll have to adjust our targets in terms of the MNCS intake. Honorable Chairperson, the first bullet is a challenge, I think, to any environment where you have to be competitive with the private sector. Rent age profile, which is what I indicated, and as well as the health status of the members. This is a slide that gives more detail to the fact we need healthy young people to be able to conduct military operations. Now, Chairperson, the other issue is long deployment period of the soldiers. We are more or less using the same people for military operations. For a number of reasons, precisely the two bullets on rank age and the health status also playing a contributing factor in that. Then in the area of human resource, honorable Chairperson, this area has not been addressed anywhere. And it is the issue of unionization of the defense force. Honorable Chairperson, in your opening remarks, you did make a statement that says, where should the focus be? That is one of the areas. What do you have in the defense force? In the lack of a better way, Honorable Chairperson, let me call it parallel command and control structures, which we don't want to see. Where is the loyalty of a soldier? Is it to his commander or to where is it? All the soldiers' loyalty has got to be to their commander. And the defense force has, this effect, implemented a number of mechanisms to make sure that they take care of the soldiers. The over-utilization of the available HR I spoke about, and should not deploy as a collection unit at this point in time, I think which is undesirable. In terms of facilities, honorable chairperson, dilapidated facilities and occupational health and safety. Now, the impact of this into the defense force might be litigation. And it could happen that because of the nature of the way these facilities are, that we might even have closure of some of the facilities. Honorable Chairperson, this is one area that you indicated you would like the services to give you a highlight on it. I'll run through it and indicate to you the most salient points. When we talk about transformation, it is not only transformation as per gender and race and disability, but it is, and disability represented, but it is transformation throughout the spectrum of the HR systems that we have in the organization. And that is the attempt that we will make, we have attempt to submit to you. Honorable Chairperson, in the research review of 2014, it seems South Africa's military capability must be commensurate with South Africa's international status, strategic progress, and continental leadership. We are saying, therefore, that transformation subscribes to be seen why did you expect a prison face is invisible and then alive is much more. And the deal of dilemmas will be skilled, healthy, fit, and high discipline professionals with a high level of moral and sense of duty. And transformation should further include the transformation of structures with accompanying values. Now, in the Defense Review of 2014, there is a lot of data that has been highlighted which touches on transformation, i.e. leadership, being one of them, training of our students, being one of them. Now, second, we do have a transformation strategy in the department, and it emphasizes humanity. And then it also emphasizes on gender and disability ministry, youth rejuvenation, and leadership development, accountability, and monitoring the progress and evolution of impact. Transformation management, as well as transformation, it also says that transformation is embedded in all tiers of the DOD and is a line function. Not only this transformation is a command function in the department. Honorable Chairman, we have in 1994 integrated 7 different forces into the Defense Force. And in each cell, that was the beginning of transformation. And the Defense Command Council of the 20th of October stated that women were to follow the same career path as men. And no master, including combat roles, were reserved exclusively for men. And this was by the Defense Command Council then on the 20th of October in 1994. What then happened is that we have identified the members within the Department of Defense to be trained in equal opportunity and affirmative action to be able to advance in this area. And then we also trained the members in cultural diversity to be able to sensitize within the Department of Defense other members on issues of cultural diversity. The Defense Review of 1998 stated that the DOD is committed to a minority non-citizen and representative work environment that broadly represents the South African population. We have therefore, Honorable Chair, established a Chief Directory within the Department of Defense, which is called the Chief Directory of Transformation Department. And the person that is the Chief Directory, Honorable Chair, is amazing. And it's a major general model that's sitting on my right, Honorable Chair. Now, we then, Honorable Chairperson, address equal opportunities and affirmative actions in the DOD through that policy, which has been introduced, equal opportunities and affirmative action. And from that time, all of the 1998, we make sure that DOD policies have to be aligned with the principles. Honorable Person, the then retired General Nell, made a statement with regards to transformation. And he said that my dream is that the Defense Force of the future reflects the democracy of the country. And that statement, as of today, it is a statement I think that has come to realize. We had a problem initially, and that we transformed very well in terms of language policy, where in this, in the Defense Force, it had been problematic at the early stages, but thereafter, it went on smoothly in terms of the language policy usage, including English, and all other languages are still official, as it is a national imperative that all languages are official. Another transformation area, Honorable Chairperson, was the recognition of the Land Security Forces service. That is the final service, as well as being admitted into the government employee pension fund. And in terms of the exit mechanism, it was not attractive enough, it was employer initiated. This was part of transformation, but what we then did was to say that we need those who have shown interest, they have got to this case to prepare them for civilian life. Honorable Chair, we then went to do energy and synthetic rejuvenate the South African National Defense Force. I've already explained some of the issues in this regard. We have a military office that also is part of the transforming the Defense Force from what it was before. and the Defense Service Commission to look at the living condition of the soldier. And what we do, it's not only on salary, though, it's on everything that goes with the living condition of the soldier. In terms of representativity, of gender and race representativity, in 1994, there was almost no female in the Japan. In other words, no female was a combatant. And now today, in 2014, we've got 19.5 female officers that are in the Japan. They are combatants. And 26% of these females in other realms, actually warrant officers and NGOs, and then those that are occupying critical masculine, 26% of those females. Now, the female management system, in 1998, we had only 5 females who were in that is 1 major general and 4 brigadier generals, and we had 4 civilians in the department who occupied the level of director. But in 2014, Honorable Chair, we got 5 major generals, females, and we got 32 females as brigadier generals. Some of them, they grew up in ranks as combatants. Commanded the unit and the commanded sub-unit of some of these generals.
I'm going to ask you to run up general.
Thank you, sir.
I think the core message has been issued as of the defense regime.
In that case, Honorable Chairperson,
I understand we've taken the much time on the presentation, but the issues that were asked of us to have but I would ask that you summarize it, at least, Chair Professor, if you can also touch on the military justice, because that is very important.
Thank you, sir. In terms of the military justice, the current military discipline of the military justice gives him power the commander to enforce the system. And in terms of Section 1129, of the act, commanders cannot handle minor disciplinary offences if the accused pleads not guilty, but they must refer the case to the military court. Now, as a solution to this challenge, the DOD has drafted the Military Discipline Bill in order to empower commanders to enforce the bill. And the bill is with the Office of the Chief of Advisor. The intention, Honorable Chair, from the Department of Defense is to have this submitted to Parliament before the end of the financial year. We would have wished that it is finalized in Parliament before the end of the financial year. And then the bill must serve, as we said, before the end of the financial year. Now, in terms of moral benefit, Chairperson, a moral survey was done, and then we found that the moral was zero. And the reason are these issues, career management and logistics training in meeting personnel. Honorable Chairperson, as far as the defense review is concerned, I'm nearing, I think this is my second last slide before concluding. What the department has done, because they've appointed the project team currently working on the defense review, and clearing is underway, as I've already indicated, those two areas of concern. And thus, the implementation proposal will be presented for approval, starting with the military strategy that was defined, as well as the capability development plan, with cost implications in the future. Now, Honorable Chairperson, this is how to define a military system complete. Now, I will not go into the details in terms of this. In this particular slide, I wanted to explain, just to say, how the defense regime then will move. It's military strategy, but comes with the force design and the cost structure, and then joint capability development, which will be focusing more in this area that are in the country. And therefore, Honorable
Chairperson,
thank you for the opportunity. Thank you,
General. Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. General. Chair, I think I will have time to just elucidate on some of the aspects that have been tried there, but I will not do that because it will appear that maybe you are running out of questions. We have to allow members at the same time to be able to.
Thank you, General. Thank you, General. I think, can you switch off you too much, General? I think the honorable members will agree that this should be very helpful for the committee representation. And we must also understand that we do not take you as the authors of this policy. You are supposed to implement it. Our questions, comments of honorable members will be within that context. We are not a defense review committee. So don't try to answer questions with defense review committee. To record you correctly, generally, that is you're saying that you are not talking about the defense intelligence. Is it because the defense review is silent about it, or what did you say? I just want us to record you to correct me.
I was saying that because of the introductory remarks by the acting chief of the defense force, where he said that he was in touch with the chief of defense intelligence, who said that a very standing concern on intelligence has caused concerns about that. So I've only shown it as one of our problems without giving further explanation.
But what I'm saying is the defense review silent about it.
No.
Not silent about it.
No.
So, yeah, that's why we want to record you. We take everything here, General. Yeah, we take everything. If there's anything that we need a close meeting, we'll do a close meeting. We are a committee of parliament. Everything should be reported to us. That is what we wanted to to you. Honorable members, it will be over to you now for comments and questions of clarity. Honorable Boyi, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Kote.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I support your word that says that this has been quite comprehensive. It is going to help us to give you the sense of view. But there's also some practicalities with that. You see, dealing with Treasury yesterday in the SCOPA, it gives you the matters of budgeting and how what type of model are you using. Because I think this is where we're all suffering from, the 94 proposals. But how do you work into the questions where there's no clarity of trends? Because the more you are not able to say, like what the defense review said, that you won't be able to do the long-term planning because given the nature of the threats that they have identified. But the consequences of that would have been a declining defense force that is not based on any threat. Now, if you have the defense review, how do you base, do you have any model that you could be able to work into so that you can be able, when you deal with the costing of the defense review, we're able to look into the future rather than become part of what you'll be saying that you write the nature of policies that are just focused on immediate needs. See, that's why your low-hanging fruit argument has created a bit of a problem. It's very presumptuous, so it puts us in a situation of not knowing when it comes to cost, what does that mean? Does it take out what you want for the future, or does it say these low-hanging fruits will always be there, and they are permanent, they're a permanent sort of the FNDF, so they should never consider it. It's a little bit of a problem. I'm just saying, for that we know that Treasury does have a model that it is using for the social development, of being able to give them a standalone type video so that they're able to prepare around that particular area. Do you have that type of a model? Or have you been able to engage in that Treasury to be able to reflect on the cost of what they're presenting in front of us?
Thank you, Honorable Boyi. Honorable Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wish to make a few comments and ask a few questions. Let me begin by saying that I'm delighted that for the first time in, I think, over 5 years, the four service teams have appeared together before this meeting, and I think that it's a very good start in this parliament, and I hope that this will be the first of many interactions with the service, and I associate myself with the statement made by the chief of the office. Thank you for that, sir. Chair, the second comment I wish to make is our expectation in this committee was obviously that he would be briefed on and provided with a detailed briefing about the challenges facing the poor citizens. But the fact of the matter is that the briefing does not go much beyond what is already in the defence report. And the reason for that is exactly the matter raised by the chief of the army. And that is the whole question of the closing. Now, at some point, Chair, we as a committee are going to confront the whole question of when we convene closed meetings. Because I think the reality is that even after 20 years of democracy, there's uncertainty about what exactly the provision in the Constitution, which says that a committee can, must remain open unless it is reasonable and justifiable not to do so in an open and democratic society. I think there's uncertainty about how that provision should be interpreted. Because if we aren't closed meetings, then in terms of process, the Department of Defense would have to provide us with a motivation showing good cause and authority in law not to disclose information. And then the committee would have to make evaluate that request and decide how to proceed. Could I make the suggestion, therefore, Chair, that we as a committee, in order to assist us going forward, commission a legal opinion from Parliament's law advisors on what authority in law the Defence Force has not to disclose information, on what the test would be in, for the committee to decide whether to open or close a meeting, and what procedures the committee should follow. I think that would assist us going forward.
Honourable,
I thought that I would deal with the defense review and challenges of closed and open meetings. We will just have to continue looking at the rules. It's our own responsibility in guiding the defense force. It's not an expectation on them to come and explain the defense force. We should take a solution amongst ourselves. And the rules are quite explicit that where it's asked from the speaker will be given that option. I don't know why she didn't open.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Honourable Minister, let us not talk to the wrong audience. We are not abdicating. That is our responsibility. First, it is already that the responsibility of declaring a meeting closed or not closed is on the shoulders of the Congress. Go on, Honourable Minister.
Can you say that the committee listened to what I had to say for once? It might actually make some progress here, but let me do. My last comment is on defence intelligence. I would put it to you, sir, that the chief of defence intelligence may want to reconsider his position. First of all, because defence intelligence is in fact reversed in the defence review. And second, there are many aspects of defence intelligence that can in fact be discussed in an open forum. And I think that we do need to focus on defence intelligence, but my assessment is that ground zero on military disasters in the CAR wasn't the intelligence. That's my assessment. Then my question. First, does the military command share the defense review's assessment that the defense force is in a critical state of decline? And second, are there elements in military command's view that have not being covered by the defense review? It seems to me that unionization might be one of those issues. That's the first question. The second question is that in terms of defense review, military command has certain responsibilities. And those responsibilities are to produce a military strategy, which includes the force design, force structure, establishment table, capability strategy, and acquisition plan. What progress has been made in preparing those documents? Those documents are in fact critical to the defense review. Those documents are, if you like, the veggies of the defense review. The last question then would be, I think it would be useful for the committee to review if we gave each service chief an opportunity to, in the shortest time possible, express his own words, the key challenges facing the service which he represents. I think that would be very, very useful to us, so that we can understand the challenge in a word from a service chief who is responsible at the end of the vacation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Koshi. I also want to welcome the presentation, although time has been passed. But I didn't hear the general talking to the issue of the special force, of which I believe that the review does touch on that important component of our SAMP. I wonder why he didn't, maybe you can explain. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity. First, I wish to place on record the issue of the skipping of the DI thing. That issues that maybe are reported, maybe are issues of operational that the JSCI wanted discussion on, so would not sort of prevent any presentation in this committee. Secondly, that both DI, same as CI and SSA, report to JSCI. That's why you see in the review that there is that proposal that the certain committee must be established with members that have and so on, but that hasn't happened. So any presentation for this standing committee should actually address the issues of this joint standing committee. But if the powers that be, the general, see this information should not be forwarded, that would be okay. For now, Chair, I want to say thanks.
Honorable Jim.
I want to welcome the presentation as made and do agree with you, Chair, that it does really help the community in terms of information. When it comes to the last one, gender equity in terms of transformation, maybe as a woman is not something about that, but looking at you as your members, I was wondering where as a woman. Looking at you here in the rank, for me, really, I'm not proud that the booster has all the review of 1998. It might be up to the other hand, we will see whether the other two are the best level of the rank absent. Because the independence of the rank women in the world is not all that true from the highest level. Mine is more on the implication. What are the implications in terms of it depends on the country, the risk that it puts to the country. If the budget cuts up to 50% as you are indicating, what does it mean to the defense of the country? And secondly, the bed was only 22,000, the option that was recommended. Let me check whether the deployment in the region and also in the continent, are they coming from the 32,000 and also the reassignment of border management? Is it from the 22,000? if so, I did not hear you talk about the new proposal that I might have missed on the review, 2014 review. Are there new proposals in terms of the numbers? Then the other question I had is on the closure of a unit on CLS and time. For me, it's very much important to, in order to avoid incidents to happen. If you have this unit, I'm not saying that this unit was in a position to assist, to know, to prevent incidents to happen. But if it's true, what are the implications in this part of the proposal of the review?
Thank you very much, Honorable Damini. Honorable Boy.
Thank you, Sir Pastor. Given that the meeting with the policy document, and on page 7, so you said, as a result of the improved external strategic development, in the next 5 years there was a decline. Now, I wanted to test with you, what does the National Development Plan say? Because it's within that vision that we are doing the overall plan for government. Where are you standing? Does the National Development Plan keep the defense review along within the arguments of the defense review? So that when we do that, when we try to argue the defense review, we argue against all other responsibilities that government has to perform. Because part of what that plan says in 7, it's very much important that we plan things, the priorities of what other demands are there. Do you think that the defense review is accommodating, or the National Development Plan is accommodating the defense review within those broad proposals that are made by government itself? Or are we moving parallel?
Thank you very much, General. Honorable Sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Machi. Very careful to the addressing the decline and, of course, identifying the areas of concern. What I'd like to also hear from the department itself and from the service of chiefs, what measures have been implemented to actually cut costs? Was there any wasteful equipment expenditure? Was there any irregular expenditure? And also the MEMS, if it was employed once, were there any recommendations made to actually implement it? Because we do have an oversupply of seniors in the army, which is not needed. And what measures have been taken to address that in terms also of the treasury directors. The other one is there are short-term gains, which we call low-hanging fruits, with little expenditure that we can achieve. But how do we address 50% medical supply? Can we just ignore it and keep it at that level? Because at this moment, the military debts are also being signed up, 5,700 or more have been signed up now, to also benefit from the healthcare system. And those numbers will be increasing and the members are getting older, which means repeats per year, maybe more than once. At this moment, you've got 302,000 members per year, which is actually business to all the institutions. So I'm pretty concerned in the public sector, even worse, 25% medical supply at the public hospitals, even worse. And here we're looking at soldiers that need to be healthy, that need to be fit, that need to be ready, and they don't have a proper supply of medication. Can that be compromised simply by saying, no, it is reasonable to be 50%? I don't think if a soldier can be needed. So I'd like to hear from the department that, of course, when they have a budget cut of 720 million on the cards, how does the department actually help the situation? Instead of just complaining about the needs and about arresting the decline, what is actually actively doing to address the risk in the system? For instance, maybe all the flying travel that has been allocated, how many millions are allocated for travel, how much allocated for entertainment, and all those things be considered and also cut back. Do we need such huge delegations to come to Parliament to address us when key people need to only address us and speak to us about issues? So those are all things that have been considered what measures have been looked at to actually come back and suggest we can make these savings. It was at the end of the day, 720 million must be cut according to Treasury's requirement to be our responsibility from the standpoint. The budget is just not enough.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Some of the questions may be process related. You may not go into details about the implementation of the capabilities before you present the implementation plan to the capability development plan to this committee. So you need to, when you answer, you need to categorize the questions along those lines so that you should not waste a lot of time. That is not the point at the time. Thank you very much. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair and members of the committee. But I will attempt to answer all the questions and for details and prepare to discuss the chief symptoms of some of the issues. If I may start with a question from Honorable Boyd, although I'm not sure if I fully understood it, whether the costing of the defense review, the department as this investment in defense review going into the future, whether there's a costing model for it. Thank you. I think in terms of the budget, the defense review makes a point that it is imperative or important that a certain percentage of the budget is allocated to the defenses. And the proposal using what is the norm internationally is that it is 2% of GDP. And I want to say this is a very good idea because it's not a budget in terms of numbers. It is a budget that is influenced by performance of our economy. It is a budget that would ensure consistency in terms of funding of the differences. And what's discussed in this point, Honorable Board, sometime in 2012, we're in Singapore, and I accompanied the Deputy Minister of Defense then. You know, he had a fantastic call with the Deputy Minister of Singapore. And what he says, in Singapore, the funding level of the defense was 6%. Irrespective of the performance of the economy. Because they attach crucial importance to the defense of the country. You know, Singapore is a nation state. And they feel that that nation will never be able to prosper if is not founded on a defense force that is able to ensure the security and stability of the country so that the economy of that country can thrive. So therefore, the issue about this is the budget, the budget that is allocated to the defense is looked in terms of the percentage of the GDP. And I'm saying this, because of the fact that the national budget is a product of political decision of, in terms of how to allocate scarce resources to different competing needs of the country. You know? But it also means that it is an expression of the level of importance that is attached to our democracy and the security of our country. Having addressed that, I would like to come to the question posed by Honorable Lady. Whether the military command share the view that defense capabilities are declining or the defense in general is declining. The picture that has been painted in the presentation sketches a scenario where when we became independent as a country, government attached priorities to the issues of socio-economic development. And therefore, because there was no external threat, decided therefore to lower the budget. because every time it was not in defense that we would be immediately involved in external operation and other things that have been indicated there. But the reality of the situation, shortly after the 1998 review, as it has been pointed out that there are a number of tasks that have been made to take on. The international environment change and the role that is played by our country within that change. Our country committed itself to certain international agreements which are to be honored. But it must be understood that we as a military will always try to make things work. But when you can't comply with the instructions, but even added responsibilities which are not accompanied by additional funding, something is declining. You know? It means, therefore, we are not, in terms of the training, we are compromising certain crucial elements of the training itself. Our equipment, for instance, the ideal situation is in terms of training, we must have equipment dedicated to training and equipment that you can utilize when it is gone. Currently, you find that you're utilizing that equipment for training and deployment, and the more the equipment ages, it poses a danger to the soldiers, not only during training, but even during operations. So yes, indeed, you agree that there has been a decline in terms of the ability of the defense force to do it well optimally. The next question was military command responsibility to the responsibility to the development of the military strategy, force design, and the capability development. Yes, the defense review says, as part of implementation of the defense review, this is the responsibility of the military command first to update the military strategy so that it is aligned with the new defense review, the new policy. And following from that, come up with the force design that could be aligned and come up with the structure. I think Chairman Ramaswamy, when he was presenting it, indicated that, in around 1999, we underwent a major structural transformation that was informed by the attempt to reduce costs. And of course, we contracted all of the joys and goods in terms of that. The product of that was to reduce the support force vis-a-vis the sharp ends. But the minute we went on operations, it became clear that that kind of structure does not work, because the kind of support that we provide to deploying forces is constrained by the structure itself, which leads to difficulties in terms of conducting successful operations. So obviously, this has to be corrected, and it will be corrected through the military command applying itself to ensure that the military strategy is updated to address the current environment. We will come up with a force design and a force structure that addresses that, and look at the development of the capabilities to be able to face or head on the kind of threats that will be challenged with on the continent and wherever we may be required there to deploy. Honorable Mayor also requested that the service chiefs, they could touch on the key challenges facing them as service chiefs. I think we'll do that without delving deeper into the issue. So I think that's what we will ask, so that I will start and then allow the other chiefs to deal with that issue. The Honorable Chair was worried about the fact that we left up in our presentation the issue of external forces, which is a critical issue, and of course the Defence Review Health covers that issue. We left it out because in terms of the requirements for this presentation, that was not as specifically listed out. It's something that we must address. And of course the presentation itself was long, trying to cover all the aspects, but trying to focus on those that were required by the committee. As a result, we couldn't even finish the presentation itself. It's not because we don't attach any kind of importance. It's a crucial component of the first one. Honorable Dami expressed disquiet or unhappiness about the progress that we have made in terms of regional equity. And also passed on the issue of even the very composition of our preparation. Now I think through the presentation we try to show that. In terms of addressing gender equity, we're starting from a basis. We are first and foremost in the sharp end within women at all. Where women were in the lower ranks, and we need to have an understanding that the military structure has been a pyramid for men. You move from one rank to another, and therefore you cannot just take somebody because you want to address gender equity, make that person jump ranks and put them at a certain level where she won't be able to do the job and lead to the demoralization of soldiers at last. Yes, the composition of the federation was such that it's composed to be able to respond to issues and the questions that would be answered. It was not completely structured by way of tokenism that we must have many women that are here. The composition is to address the point of issues. Yes,
okay.
No, my
thank you. No, General, yeah, I want you to round up now because we are.
Then there's the need of the implication of the budget in terms of, budget as in terms of providing security for our country. I want to use a simple example to illustrate the point. After a decision was taken that we must go back to the borders, the military appreciation was made. And we recognize that to be able to be effective in doing that will require the two companies. However, we're not able to provide those companies because, first and foremost, we're not able to bring the numbers of MSDS members that we require to bring to be able to fully compare with this task. Yes, the nation. In a way, it compromises the security of our country because we know we're in a great state of face with a huge number of illegal immigrants that are here. And also, there was a question on the deployment based on the weather they did in 2000. The 22,000 was a figure that. The Defense Review of 1998 wanted us to work towards. But we were not able to reduce the number to that. Because, first and foremost, the exit mechanism that we had at the time
didn't fulfill the role that for which it was designed. That was by tragedy. Instead, the people, because it was voluntary in nature, we couldn't force people to move out. And also, I think the forces have grown as a result of the integration of certain forces. So, in reality, we didn't go to 22. So, the numbers were deploying both externally, in operation and internally, both are beyond the 22, that is, if we take into account the rotations and all. Then the issue of closure of the units, particularly the eyes and ears of the defenses. This relates to two aspects. The first aspect is the commando units that were there in the past, and that were mainly along the borders and providing that vital intelligence to the security forces. Because then, let me say this, for us to be effective in terms of border safeguarding, it is important that our operations are intelligence driven. We don't have the numbers and what, but if we don't have intelligence that informs us the movement of people and all into the country and what, we may not be able to respond effectively to that. So the commandos were close. The engineer for me, I mean, it's an intelligence formation that is assisting in this regard. Only has one regiment. And it is overstretched in terms of both internal and external deployments. Then from Honorable Boy, there was a question of on the National Development Plan takes into account the defense of UN's requirement. Personally, I don't think because in the NDP, there's not much reference to the defense forces. The pressures other challenges faced by the country. Which is why from our side as well, we felt we need to have a session and interaction with the treasurer. So that even from treasury understands the defense of youth and therefore also understand the requirements for the defense to be better funded. From Honorable Sefrao, what measures have been taken to cut costs and also that is the number of supply of generals? Of course, there are austerity measures that have been taken by the department, and those austerity measures actually were directed by the president. But internally, within the defense force, we said we have also looked at areas where we can ensure savings. What will make a simple example? You know, in the area of rations, the food that we care for soldiers and all. When we've got a contract, a national contract that provides the stability in prices. But if there's no contract, then you need a different plan, and you know they invite bids, and you find now the service provider there inflate the prices and leads to unnecessary costs which could be saved. And of course, we feed into a procurement environment. We could actually save a lot to the department. Now, on the issue of the over supply of senior generals, I just want to explain it that in the past, for instance, the brigadiers were not listed as generals. We changed and adopted the American system where we say the brigadiers are one-star generals. Now, because of that, there's a perception that the number of generals has all of a sudden grown, and therefore the structure is quoted at the top. But I think given the numbers of the juniors vis-à-vis the generals,
particularly in the command line, there's not the heavy problems perhaps in the staff line. The issue of medical support, Sergeant General with the Federal ABCB Commission. It is a critical issue that we have adequate medical support for training and operation. Because when you train and you go in operations, you can lose lives and you can actually have injuries. But we find this issue sometimes because of the challenges of medical support, we run the risk that our soldiers will unnecessarily be exposed to injuries. When they do suffer injuries, they may not be actually be accurate to high. And of course, how do we have the situation in terms of practical? Well, the first one is one question on the fact that an organization like ours consumes the resources. We don't contribute to actually improving the economy. And therefore, we, in our conflict, there are issues of regular, prudent expenditure. But those are issues that we attend to, and we try to, those people who are responsible for that, we deal with. Thank you. And then, lastly, in terms of the challenges that are faced by the services,
Okay. One thing we get now.
Right,
I think that this will be sufficient for us. But I just want to mention two issues, generally. When you talk of the budget, in order for you to get feedback from this committee, you must not forget to say that you want the budget to enable you to achieve your constitutional mandate. Because we are going to oversight you on that. And in terms of the NGT, indeed the review put a responsibility on you. You must look at your goal number 4, developmental goals, and task 13, contributing to the development of the South African people of Africa. So we are going to oversight on this side of that. We are going to oversight you on that when we're talking about the NGT. I'm going to ask the co-chair to close this meeting. And
thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, General and the issue of, as a comment, the issue of the decline in terms of the system in the MDF. We understand that, I don't know, General, you said it is still with the state law advisor. Quickly, can you at least give the members how long is it going to be there?
Honorable Co-Chair, it is a new frustration to the military command. Because that's the strength of military discipline has been in the office of the state law for over the year.
No, it's fine. I don't think that as a committee will also assist to put pressure, because honestly speaking, with all the problems that we see, you know, it is embarrassing to see soldiers getting into the body store with the uniform, full uniform. That shows the decline of discipline in the South African defense force. And that cannot be allowed. So we'll try as a committee to push that the draw as well as bring that bill out of their offices. I'd like to say thank you very much for the presentation. And you must understand honorable foolish. The purpose, I'm not coming into the details of the team, but the purpose of bringing all the arms of faith is for them to assist in answering some of the questions. So don't feel just
Thank you.